I love this comment. Votch must be on the golden phone.
Hello.
Come on inside and get yourself something cool to drink.
Votch Lombardi, Skywalker Still.
Hold on, man.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
Let me start over, because you know Votch will take over the show at any time. Votch Lombardi.
Hey, Votch.
Skywalker Still.
Let me talk to you.
John Machota.
It's Benja.
Oh yeah, hold on. Let me play my song. Hold on.
Here's Johnny.
There it is.
That's all. That's teamwork right there.
King. My name is Foots the King.
King.
I'm cool with the homemade drops, man. How we doing, fellas? I miss y'all boys, man.
Bro, we got football.
The best podcast in the world.
I'm jealous, John, right now. He out there with the beautiful weather, bro.
And it's pretty great.
So, John, what is it's a balmy 75 degrees, 72 degrees where you are, sir. What is it at 5 o'clock over there?
So I'm staying in Ventura, so it's closer to the water, so it's a little bit cooler here. On the practice fields, though, they're talking about how this is a heat wave for Oxnard, so it's been in the low 80s.
Oh my,
yeah. So
it's a cool lit 105 out here.
With the sun down,
you know what I mean? So, you know, have fun.
Yeah, man. They out there. John's out there. Votch, when do you head out?
August 8th. I don't have time for the welcome home celebration. I don't have time for the festivities for the Oxnard High School football team to show up. That ain't really what I'm into. Yeah. When the pads come on, when the joint practices happen, whether we're going to LA or the Saints coming to us, that's what I kind of want to be around for. So I'll be there August 8th, sir.
Toxic off the top rope early. We were talking about Jazz behind the scenes.
Yeah, we were.
he must be there with us. Hey, it's good to see y'all boys on the screen. Votch Lombardi, John Machota, Skywalker Still. We have a lot to talk about. This is where, John, you make your money. We're gonna jump right into it. We're gonna jump right in here, Johnny, because we definitely do want to break down everything that's been on the practice field, some things that we're hearing. I want to get your guys' take. So without further ado, we're bringing it back. Here's Johnny.
So, two practices.
Can I say something real fast? John, do we have permission to stop you at any of these points, or you just want to get it all out?
No, you guys jump in on any of it.
Cool. Well, you just did it, so no.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's all good. There's plenty to talk about.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do this first. Let's go from the press conference, and then let's go to the practice field. So let's start with the press conference, everything that was said there. And then let's talk about what you've seen, and then we'll react.
Yeah, press conference, from my perspective, it was interesting because it was the first time we talked to Jerry since the end of the draft. I mean, you're talking 3 months. You know, he hasn't done a press conference type thing like that, or met with like a large group of reporters like he sometimes will do during OTAs or minicamp. So didn't really talk to him, and so didn't really know what angle he'd be coming from on you know, he's always got his talking points that he wants to get out there. And, you know, I didn't know that Max Crosby would be a part of those talking points. You know, I don't know the specifics on tampering, but it certainly seemed like they were tiptoeing pretty close to whatever those standards
line
would be.
Steppers, for sure.
Yeah. So, and I also will say this, I don't necessarily think it's that they're trying to get Max Crosby. I think it's, let's put some chum in the water that, hey, we're open for business, and open for business to the level that, you know, we'll give up a high draft pick in next year's draft to improve this year's team. I think George Pickens is a big part of that. And I say that because, you know, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to sign him to a long-term deal. He has another season like he did last year. You know, he could get to the point where he becomes too expensive. And Stephen Jones made it very clear. There was no doubting in what he said about Quinnen Williams. They're not letting him leave and go anywhere. So he will be very expensive. You know, you're talking about Quinnen Williams, George Pickens. These are guys that probably, they could make north of $35 million a year. So I don't know how many of those guys you can really have on your team and fill out the rest of your roster. So that type of stuff was the most interesting to me. And then I would say on a secondary level, just from my own covering, you know, the last 15 training camps, I really can't remember a time where we came out here and there wasn't anybody that was starting off on the cords or on PUP or on the NFI list, like being out there for that first practice where, you know, they're not wearing pads, but I mean, you're doing a lot of taking some inventory, who's lining up where, who's working with the ones, things like that. And it just like when you saw that first team drill, when the first team defense was out there, first team offense, it's what we would have expected if we talked about it on the podcast going into training camp. Everybody that you would think was out there.
John, let me just rewind for 30 seconds. Press conference, right?
Rewind.
You know, Jerry Jones talking his talk or whatnot. What was your feel? And I guess I can ask the entire panel, you know, and if y'all disagree, please. It felt like I haven't heard Jerry Jones come off like pessimistic in a long time. You know what I'm saying? But hearing him be like, hey, man, I wouldn't say confident is the word that I would use. It's da-da-da. Hey, man, last time we had to rebuild all this shit, we went 1-10 or some shit. do y'all pair that with maybe like the urgency to get some trade stuff done? Like maybe hearing that make you go, oh, well, Jerry's not confident in his defense, so maybe that's why trade talks are so coming out of his chest right now. Please, guys.
So Vosh, I thought as I'm watching the press conference, I literally wrote that down. Like, oh, that's interesting. He brought up the last time this happened, we were 1-15. But then as the presser went on, I started to think maybe that was a little trolly. Because then you started to hear the, not necessarily bravado, but the confidence that he spoke, that you know, we speak about. He started saying, I think this team is legitimate. And it wasn't in the same way as years past where, you know, we're talking Super Bowl and all these Jerry-isms of stories. He tried to tell the same damn stories to John and them boys out there. But this seemed pretty business-like. It felt to me, he was like, you know what? You right. We ain't shit. He even said it. I like that y'all don't believe in us. He said something along those lines to the media. So I feel like when he said that, he was kind of setting the stage of saying, yeah, last time we did this, we weren't that great. Just feeding into the media or fans, I should say, that don't believe or whatever in this team. Because if you listen to the rest of that interview or of that presser, he definitely came off very confident to the point that he said, I think we so good, dare I say we one player away.
I'm going to sky hit that on the head. Like, I feel like, Vosh, he believed in what was being told to him.
Better.
He believed in these coaches. He talked a lot about the changeover at coaching. And then the whole, I love that he said, this ain't been a quiet offseason. Yeah, it's been a quiet offseason to the outside world. But in the building, the changeover. And I think that is, it's a great question you asked, Vosh. You're really good at this, sir.
Thank you.
He said, I was thinking about, then I said, man, you know what? I bet you he's listening to Christian Parker. He's listening to Shoddy. He's listening to Clayton year two. He's like, man, these guys are really seeing what we can be, and he's looking at the coaching staff and saying, this is the best coaching staff we've had. You bring in guys like Scott Simon. You bring in, you know, the rest of the unit. I feel like Jerry legit believes.
Well, I think he's also looking at the last year's rosters of the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks, too. He's made that very clear this offseason. He's brought that up several times, including after that press conference was over. There was like you know, a group of us that talked to him for like another 7-8 minutes. And he brought that up again about where those two teams were last year at this time. I think, and, you know, Jerry can't really like completely rip those teams. Obviously, they've been to multiple Super Bowls since last time the Cowboys have. But, if you watch the NFL, I mean, what he's saying is not a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Last year at this time, nobody was looking at the Patriots roster saying, yeah, no, Drake May is going to be outstanding and he's going to be, you know, neck and neck for the MVP race at the end of the season. Now, obviously, they had a favorable schedule and things like that, but they still got to the Super Bowl. And then Seattle, like, I mean, I'll be the first to say, I didn't think Sam Darnold would take the Seattle Seahawks to a Super Bowl. Certainly not at this time last year. Heck, I didn't think he'd take them to the Super Bowl in week 15 last year. So
really? That's
where, yeah, I did not think of.
I didn't believe this guy. Hey,
real talk.
Yeah, me neither.
What happened?
No, I was saying I didn't believe in him to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
yeah, we agree. We agree.
Anybody that has any, I don't know, reason to think that Dak can't get it done. Dak's a way better quarterback than Sam Darnold. I mean, we're not even putting this up for debate. Like that shuts the door on the whole like, oh, yeah, but you're going to need a quarterback better than Dak if they are ever going to do it. I don't know that you need that anymore. I also speak to the league being a league of parity, and that helps things as well, too. There is not a Los Angeles Dodgers. As much as people want to push the Rams out there like that, they're really not. If the Rams were the Dodgers, the Rams wouldn't have given up Verse. They would have Verse with Garrett, Aaron Donald back. You know, I mean, they're just not – they're the favorites, deservedly so, but they're – the bar is not – you know, like you don't have to be the 90s Cowboys to win a Super Bowl now.
Because I'm coaching. Respectfully.
Yeah. You was about to say something, Sky.
I was just going to tell it. You brought up some of these assistants, and I was just going to crack a joke at Jared. He couldn't tell the difference between Scott Simons and Simon Says.
He don't know the people.
But Scott, you just said.
We're walking down the hall. Nobody's got jerseys on. How many players do you think he knows?
The guys that he had to sit in there and negotiate six the big money with.
By six or seven people.
D-Lamb.
Stevie, Dak.
Dak.
He know Quentin.
I don't even know if he know Quentin.
I was about to say, Quentin. You would have called him by Quentin.
Quentin. Quentin. That's what he called him. Quentin. I got it pulled up right now, John. I'm going to tell you right now. We got six players making $20 million or more. Definitely Kenny. You know Kenny. Deron Bland, Tyler Smith, George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Quentin. He probably right know now? The rest of them boys.
Is that right there?
Aubrey.
What else did you take away from the from Scotty?
One more thing though, real fast. I was kind of setting this up though. So like Jerry did have the opening pessimism. Let me ask y'all this. He did come out with some more confidence later. Do y'all think because a trade is locked in and he's going, like halfway locked in, and he going, hey man, we may not be ready now, but we on the phone with some mother that's going to take this to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Like, should we be expecting something soon because it's halfway locked in and that's where the confidence comes from?
I think the momentum is, you want to hold off?
I want that to be his own segment, Vice, okay, the trade talk, because
it's still press conference, Fliz. Well, I'm only talking about the presser, sir.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, Vice, to answer your question.
Don't answer the question if you want to hold it, Flitz.
Yeah, because I got an answer too.
All right, let's hold it.
Let's hold it.
What else?
Go ahead.
Fantastic question. No, but Vosh asked some great questions. Like, he make you think, boy. He get the wheels turning. I give you that, Vosh.
Hey, man, did y'all see the Will McClay interview? John Mitchell, let me ask you a question. Did you see the Will McClay interview on Crown Globe Media, sir?
I have not got to watch all of it. I watched the first few minutes.
All right, go ahead, man.
I was getting
that. Talk about it. Let's talk about it. Talk about that, Vosh. That was a great interview. Especially we didn't have camp.
No. This ain't about me, I promise. I just think that we have an idea about how the Cowboys build rosters now because they interview. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to just ask questions just to ask. I think, John, you know, not you, of course, but I think some of our peers do ask questions just to kind of ask, you know what I mean? I want to know philosophically why we do shit, you know what I mean? So like the Cowboys are an organization that values ceiling guy. They value contracts. They don't like the old dudes like that. They think highly of Dak. Pickens, I don't think is a part of the long-term plans. Quentin Williams is definitely a part of the long-term plans.
Put a pin in that Pickens.
I gotta keep pinning everything, so just go ahead. I just thought that if you take a lot of those nuggets and pair them with a lot of the questions that we may have about contracts and roster building, for example, running back. I don't think the Cowboys into big name running backs for real. I think they just finna keep this rotation of like cool cheap guys that they got.
But a lot of that is fluid. It's been fluid over the years. I remember a point in time where they drafted a lot of guys from small schools, and then Will was like, we don't want to draft guys from small schools. That was a time where they paid big money to the running back. Now they don't care about the running back. It was a time they didn't give a hell about the defensive tackle and the safety. Now they do. So I think it's very fluid, and Will has had a chance to be in that room for many years of that fluidity. And you saw Will. Will wasn't going to say everything. He was really trying his best not to
Will
give it away.
Will said plenty.
All the way. Well, he's not trying to give it all of the sauce away. But one thing he does well, he is a chameleon. He will blend in with whatever the top brass is trying to do at that point in time. And that's why I always say I would love to see him have the pressure to succeed or fail for his job. Because I don't believe he has it. I believe he's like, okay, this is what we're doing. All right, bet. Now I'm going to go operate in that manner. So I think he gave us what they're thinking right now. I don't think he gave us what they've been thinking all along.
I think he said that to you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll also add, though, to what Sky said, also when they've been doing those things, as you mentioned, with running back, safety, defensive tackle, I'm going to even throw in defensive coordinator. They've been, like, behind the curve on these.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't been ahead of the curve. That's the probably the thing. I mean, obviously, the way players talk about Christian Parker and the coaching staff and people within the building, that's number one for me. But the number two reason why I'm optimistic about him coming in is because he does seem like someone who is on where the league is now and where it's going. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's been the problem with, I feel like, the Cowboys a little too much, is they've leaned on things of the past. Mm-hmm. You know, this is working, let's change and do it that way. You know, now this is working, now let's go in that direction. As opposed to just having, like, hey, this is the way we build our team. We're doing this, and we're just going to go straight forward and, you know, get the job done this way. And so, heck, it's even been like that with the head coaches, too, really. I mean, they spent, you know, to get Parcells, and then they go to Wade, to Garrett, you know, like, I don't know that there's been a lot of times in this 30-year Super Bowl drought where you're like, nah, they're on the front end of this. They got this, you know?
Never.
Trends. They haven't been ahead of the trends. It's been like, oh, well, you know.
John, you brought up something months ago that got me thinking when you said, would you rather have one of those ones of defensive coordinators? And I said, there's only maybe two or three in the league. At one point it was Bill Belichick. Mike McDonald might be one. Or would you want one of those Kyle Shanahan, McVay types? I'm like, there's more of those than the DCs. And that really got my brain spinning, especially when Coach Parker came out and said, this is our defense, not Vic's. We might have one because he hasn't had a chance to showcase his defense yet. So if he's not running Vic's and he's saying he's bringing in these guys from different places, we might have one of those dudes who, dare I say, is the trendsetter, is the one-on-one. We might be ahead of something to where, okay, we need to go study CP. How many times have teams said, we got to study what the Cowboys are doing and emulate that?
I think there are teams who study what we do somewhat offensively.
Offensively, yeah.
Yeah, but
hold on. Who, what over the last 15 years have the Cowboys done that have been at the forefront of something?
Forefront probably is a stretch, guy, but I mean, they have had good offenses for sure.
But that's not the same.
But trend setting. I know, but think about it. There's only like a few trendsetters in the league. There's Sean McVay. That's
literally what I set the whole conversation up of.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm just saying, like, how many trendsetter defensive coordinators? Like, there could be a world where,
That's what I just said.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying that in the sense.
Come on, what?
No, what I'm saying, I think you misunderstanding what I'm saying. The Cowboys' offense has been like, they've had like 3,000 yard receivers or whatever it was. They've put numbers, and I think that teams have probably looked at it and said, like, how they draft O-line or certain things like that. I don't know why. What was funny about that? But I'm just saying, like, they haven't been a terrible offense. Now, trendsetter, there's only one trendsetter at each, I feel, coordinator spot. Maybe Shanahan. And maybe Mike McDonald right now in the league. Everybody else is chasing those guys.
Okay.
I was laughing because that's what he said, though, Foots.
Yeah.
About defense.
He said one. He said one specifically.
Like two or three. He said it was Belichick. Go ahead.
I don't want to derail this show. Go ahead. Because I think you misheard me here. Because I can name you about five or six offensive coordinators that other teams look at their plays and try to run those plays and concepts and get ahead of. But the Cowboys, when have they looked at the Cowboys and said, we need to get ahead of Scott Linehan, Jason Garrett, Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy? Like, their teams aren't doing that, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. All right. No, I just know that they've had good offenses. That's what I'm saying.
For sure.
Yeah. Like they said, I'm already getting jumped. Boy, y'all crazy.
No.
I don't want to hear.
You ain't getting jumped.
What else?
What Sky is saying is like, you know, when you look at San Fran and like what they do with the fullback, they make us go, damn, we need a Juszczyk type character. But if you see what somebody does with like 13 personnel or some shit, or you see somebody innovate, like if anything, like maybe teams look at the Cowboys O-line and be like, damn, we need O-line. But that's like team building. That ain't like your OC is doing something to make us go, damn, we need to be like him. I think that's what Sky is saying.
Maybe people try to find they try and study them to find a quarterback, franchise quarterback, that you don't have to take in the first two rounds.
The Cowboys have been good at that. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been good at that.
They go crazy on that shit. Yeah, they go get
it. Yeah. So what else as far as the coaches, like and what Shoddy had to say?
Fuzz, come here, man.
You jump in, it's like,
I love you,
Fuzz. Go ahead, man. Don't do that, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like that.
I know. So, Hollywood Vibes, there you go.
Oh, no.
What do you think about?
Let's be nice.
Go ahead. John, what did you think about what Shoddy had to say though?
I listened to practice, man.
I can't say that there was like really anything that stood out. I mean, when we're talking about just that press conference, outside of the Jerry stuff, there wasn't a ton there that I thought was like really, you know, stood out. You know, if I had a list like the five things or four things that stood out to me, it was Jerry clearly seems open to adding a big time player like we just talked about. The not having anybody start the season on PUP or NFI, the how open Steven was talking about wanting Quinn and Williams back while you're in a obviously situation where we don't know if they're going to have George come back. I would say that those are probably the top of the line things for me. There wasn't a ton that I feel like I'm missing that. That really stood out that I thought was like really notable. I mean, Shoddy talked up Christian Parker, but he does that all the time, you know, like talking about how much time he puts in and how the players like being around him because he's, you know, his attention to detail and all that. And yeah, that's notable. But and like the leadership council, things like that, like, I don't know, that stuff just doesn't, I don't know. They do that every year. It doesn't really, that stuff doesn't move the needle for me.
John, let me ask you, John and Fliss, let me ask y'all this. What do y'all think about Demo not being on the leadership committee? I asked y'all already.
Yeah, especially when they already have 12 guys on there. They should have no. Yeah.
He's a homegrown guy. He's a guy that they love. He's the Mike linebacker, which is a leadership like spot or whatever. I'm just wondering why, like, these dudes that wasn't on the team took that job over him who's like been here, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny and Quinn are no-brainers to me, really.
Can you be on a leadership committee?
He hasn't done anything to earn it.
Can you be on a leadership committee from the tub, though?
That's what I was about to say. Right. Like he hasn't been out. You know what I mean? Out there to be a leader, more or less.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And there's obviously concerns about that. You know, if you can tell them that he's going to play 17 games, they're obviously thrilled, man. They'll be excited. They want Overshown to be out there all the time, but can you count on that? You know, so he's been wearing the green dot. Some of the other players that are in that potential role: Curtis Robinson, Caleb Downs, and who am I forgetting? Florida kid, Shamar James.
Curtis Robinson doing what?
He's a backup inside linebacker.
Oh,
I found it interesting. Well, there wasn't a whole lot.
It might not be his name. Did I say his name?
No.
I don't even know his name. I mean,
he said his name. Right.
Did I make Coach, up a name?
So nobody knows his name.
Coach did say in the press conference yesterday. He said, yeah, there's about three or four guys, but I'm not going to tell y'all until we get a couple of practices in. And he said, it's not all linebackers. So when you brought up Caleb, boy.
Overshown, Jalen, Caleb, probably.
Curtis
Robinson. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, it's Curtis Robinson. He's on the team. Veteran.
He sounds like a baseball player, but you're right.
I'm telling you, look it up.
Sound like an old Negro League baseball player.
Huh?
Curtis Robinson was the first. Yeah. But I was
what I was saying was hearing him say Caleb Downs is getting a green dot is like, that is good, but it's also like, boy, can another veteran get that? Can we get a little veteran?
Well, I think it's a cross training thing. We would rather not give him it right now. Let's have him play during the season. But kind of, if it comes down and it's an emergency, then we want him to be a guy. Because that's the thing. Like, you know, you can have anybody wear the green dot, but only one guy can be wearing it on the field. So if Overshown goes into the game, he starts and he's wearing it and he gets hurt and comes out. Well, okay, who's the guy that's got the radio and the helmet now? You know,
Curtis Robinson's white. You a damn lie. Hold on.
I didn't know.
A-Ron say, hold on, let me just see something real quick. You a damn lie. Hold on, John.
No, he's not white, bro.
A-Ron just said Curtis Robinson white.
He's not.
He gotta be mad because A-Ron said it.
Unless he got a crazy tan, he's not white.
Dallas Cowboy.
He's a white man? That's not a white.
I don't know, Skyler.
I don't know.
He might be one of them John B types, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's that? I don't know.
Wow.
Nah. Nah,
you're know. Older than I think you are. I thought you were.
I'm 34.
John B.
Damn, okay. Then you're younger than that. I didn't think John B would get to anybody under the age of like 38.
I'm an old soul, man. Curtis Robinson's a black man, but he right there. He on that line. John, you know John B?
Oh yeah.
That's a little more surprising.
You'll learn a lot about John over the next year, brother.
I ain't know how John. You know.
How John?
I'm an old man. I'm 44.
Okay, I got that. Who knew?
I don't know. Did anything stand out to you guys from like when you guys were watching that press conference? Was there anything where you guys were like, "I can't believe that they said that," or "This is interesting," or I don't know. Maybe I'm forgetting something.
No, I just thought Shotty had an attitude. Go ahead, Sky.
No, nothing crazy. I took notes. I like that he talked about potentially getting the running backs involved in the pass game more this year. I've been screaming for that over the last 3-4 seasons.
I think they would have last year if they could have trusted Jaden Blue. So Blue's out there. Like, you know, that's the thing about watching these practices. Like Blue, like in individual drills, again, like there's a lot of stuff, not in pads, whatever, you can't take from these practices. But it is interesting to see, like, hey, in individual drills, number two running back up, Jaden Blue, you know, tight ends go, you would think that
Luke's I thought they had Phil Maffa, John. I thought it was Phil who was getting the two work, more or less.
Blue was
are
getting
you talking
one
on the field
yesterday.
Like in team drills?
Not in team drills when they actually went full team.
Oh, yeah. But that has to do with more of the packages they're in. I'm talking about like individuals where they're all broken up in different position groups, you know, and it's interesting to see like some of that stuff. It's pretty easy to tell who's in. You know,
well, let's talk about what did you see at practice, and then we'll kind of, you know what I mean, go from there.
Yeah, I mean, to be expected, offense clearly is the one that's making the most plays, and that's not only because this is a very talented offense, but it's also when there's no pads on you, you can't really hit somebody. You're really just trying to line guys up, and it's kind of tough to really make the type of impact you need to on a defense if you can't really hit guys or take them to the ground. So, but I will say, even though it's only two practices, not in pads, it's easy to see how much more Dak and George Pickens are on the same page compared to last year at this time, you know, where it took them like a little while to kind of be on the same page and things like that after they made that move. Like they would still make big plays, but not as much as like now everything just seems like, you know, it really is a CD George 1A, 1B. Like, I mean, and then also like, I mean, you even had like Mingo made a nice catch today, and Ryan Flannoy continues to look like the player he was last year. Jaden Blue in space. I'm sure you guys have seen some of those videos. You can just tell the quickness he has. Javonte Williams looks like he's picking up where he left off. Ferguson looks solid. Brevin Spanford looks like he's catching the ball even better than he has in the past. So, the big question mark on offense is left tackle. And I just don't know that you're going to get a lot out of left tackle until the pads come on, you know? So, defensively, by far the thing to me is just the way that not even really just in the practices, but just the way Caleb Downs and Quinnen Williams carry themselves. Like there's something about it probably gets a little bit oversold on the whole, like on the star and being a cowboy and stuff, but there is some truth behind, you know, how You guys get a star in their home, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm doing a podcast and I'm this big superstar and everything's about me and all that. And there are some guys that are just all about football. Now, I'm not saying that Caleb obviously has a podcast. I'm not saying that you can't do that. But he's just so businesslike. You would never think that he was a rookie. And then like Quinnen Williams, like I'll tell you what, these first two breaks, Quinnen Williams gets on the field way too early for the player that he is. Like he's one of the first guys out there. Like there is a very, and I say that because there is a very like, you know, kind of like if you go to a concert and there's like three acts, like that last act, the headliner, they're not even not coming on the time they're supposed to. It's like way after that. Like that's how it is with CD and Dak and Pickens and those guys.
But I mean, Quinnen Williams, like
what's that?
I said they're not doing sound check and nothing. They just
no. But Quinnen gets out there super. I mean, it just. I say this because I really don't care about anything negative the defense does in a play to play thing in a non padded practice. I just comparing it to last year. They just seem like they have more guys where you're just like those communication issues, those kind of problems they were having last year. I just don't see those happening on this team, you know, and even though those guys weren't a big part of probably the worst defense in franchise history, they're very aware of it. You know, Christian Parker wasn't part of it. They're obviously very aware of what people think of the Cowboys defense. And so there is a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I still don't think they're done at linebacker, inside linebacker. I don't know. I just feel like inside linebacker, edge rusher were the two spots that I felt like Jerry was talking about if they're going to make a move. So I guess, well, in this scheme now, it's inside linebacker or outside linebacker. I mean, he even said in that walk, obviously, like, I'm not talking about adding another receiver. I'm talking about, you know, improving in some areas that we need to improve in. And I don't look at left tackle as something you're going to get this time of the season off of another team. So I was thinking edge rusher and inside linebacker. Those are the two spots right there. But yeah.
And in that walk off, he, for the lack of better words, said, we're not interested in bringing in a Jag. We're trying to bring in a dude.
For
big
sure.
Resources.
Yeah.
Big resources.
Yeah. I saw someone in the chat just mentioned Jayshon Barham. Yeah. That put him on the top of the list of guys that I can't wait to see how he plays when the pads come on, because there's things that he does that, I mean, he looks very imposing out there and he's fun to watch, but there's only so much he can do, especially as a rookie. You don't really want to be going out there and going and lighting up Javonte Williams in no pads as a rookie third round pick. That's not going to go over well with the bell cow running back and the way that the team. So, I mean, he's doing the right things, but I just feel like he would be on my very short list of people on defense that I cannot wait to watch when the pads come on.
We can light up Moffa, though.
We looked at a rep earlier where me and Vosh was like, maybe with pads on, he plays this differently. And certain players are not non-contact guys. Last year, I think, Foots, John, we talked about Javonte Williams, running backs. We all believe running backs need pads, need preseason. But I was like, you're not going to get anything from Javonte Williams in training camp. And if he's not playing preseason, we just have to wait to the regular season to see his game, right? There was a play on a jet sweep where I feel like Barham, and they're really playing with his eyes in these two practices a lot of movement, that I think he tries to run through Jake Ferguson after he kind of false step, but he didn't because no pads, there's no fit. All right, man, you got me. And just kind of, I got to let up a little bit. I wonder, does he put that shoulder down, get his arms extended? Because I, like we talked about, I've seen him just terrorize tight ends on film, but he can't do it without the pads. So really, really looking forward to seeing him with the pads. And even if he is making said mistakes, make the mistake at 110% and then finish it physically. We can't see that, you know, right now.
Yeah, I feel the same way with the running backs as well. I'm going to wait until it's contact, until I don't want to make any crazy judgments, because even there was a one rep I saw with Barham and people were like, oh, Barham made the wrong read. I'm like, bro, it's his first NFL practice ever. Like, that's going to happen.
You said that's good. I point that out, but I said this is good teach tape.
Because, I mean, yeah, but the at that, like you said, they playing with his eye. I mean, that's an offense that's going to play with you. I think about this. Like, we talk about offensive coordinators all the time, Scott. Just them seeing Dak Prescott get under center is different for these linebackers. All they see in college is gun, and they may see counters and stuff like that, but you're seeing it from gun is just different keys. Well, now when he puts his back to the basket, you got that tight end leak out. You could have counter happening. You got split zone. The split zone player could leak to the flats. There's so many things, and you have that responsibility. So it's he'll be fine. You know what I mean? People.
But that's why you pointed out to say, see that right there? He's going to see more of that in the league. So this is good teach tape. Because, like you said, you don't see a whole lot of that. And especially at that position, remember, he played a lot of edge. So it's going to take some time to get back into that middle linebacker mindset. He wasn't having to deal with that down in, down out at Michigan last year. And that was just a few months ago, right? It was been about a year or so removed since he, maybe more, played full-time middle linebacker. So you want to see mistakes like this now. You don't want to see these mistakes come August 25th. So because if he's going to have to play a lot, teams are going to pick up on that, and then we'll just be like, okay, we'll give it 6 weeks, give it 8 weeks. But I think, like you said, he'll be fine. Definitely the more reps he gets, because it's mental for me. It ain't physical.
Yeah.
Damn sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, from what I saw and what I'm hearing, I feel like they're going to be able to put a lot on Caleb's plate, but I wonder how much they're going to be able to put on the other rookies. That's just something that I'll be watching for.
It's different.
It's a good question.
It's different, guys. They're going to drop everything on Caleb, and they're going to act like they're not. They're going to act like they're not, but Joe Hoyt had a real good tweet that just got rid of all that. He said, in the last three plays, Caleb Downs is lined up in the box at nickel and at free on deep thirds within three plays. They're going to dump all the down shit on him.
And getting the green dot. That's a lot.
It's plenty.
As they should.
John, you said how he moves and how he carries himself. But like actual movement and play speed wise, how does Caleb look? Like his play speed?
Yeah, no, he looks like he belongs. I mean, he looks like a guy that he doesn't look out of place as a nickel. I mean, I don't know. Like, I just feel like he can play any of those spots. Like,
okay.
The other thing I will say, though, is like, I don't know. I mean, at least I didn't see any. Like, there are obviously going to be times where they bring him on blitzes and things like that. They're not going to show you everything right away. I think there's just a lot more that he can show. But from what he has shown up to this point, I mean, he looks as good as advertised to me, you know. I don't know that he punched it out. It looked like it might have been DeMarvion Overshown too, but on Phil Maffa in yesterday's practice, right on the ball, right where he needs to be, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, he looks the part to me. He doesn't. I don't look at him and think that, I have any questions about him. I think he's going to make a huge impact this year. I think Barham will too. Like I don't expect Jayshon Barham to just kind of be a guy that sits on the bench. I think they're going to find a way to get him on the field. Maybe it doesn't happen right away for him, but I think those two rookies for sure. And if they don't add another edge rusher, I would expect Malachi Lawrence to get a ton of reps. Now, even if they add another edge rusher, he probably will too. I just don't, again, I need to see the pads come on to see.
That's
where
what
that
I want to see with the pads. I want to see Malachi Lawrence.
Yeah.
I want to see Gary with the pads on as well. We kind of know.
Gary was throwing it. Gary was
beating the shit out of Terrence Steele. Real
8 foot. Go watch some of these plays, bro. Gary is running down his chest, walking him.
Terrence Steele?
Yeah. And he tossing him, too.
Every time.
They probably tell him, like, hey, this supposed to be thug. Gary, like, nah.
He thug.
I'm trying to get my body back or trying to get in his back. It's interesting because certain plays, I had a bunch of thoughts on Revel, and he answered a few. Like, especially it was one rep that I saw today where he turned and ran with GP. And I said, man, if he can do that more, and it's like the way he was able to turn, the health looked like it may be there. So you could see from the corners and the receivers, like CeeDee looks very explosive. All the clips that I've seen. Revel looks healthy. Hey, what does Deron Bland look like, John?
He had a nice pass breakup today.
Okay.
He looks fine. I will say he sounds a lot more confident than he did a year ago coming off the previous foot injury. You can tell that he even said, like, he called them the hiccups that he had after that last surgery. He's not having those right now. So I thought that was a really good sign, because I feel like if he's healthy, then he's out there. I'm not saying he's going to have, 5-6 interceptions, but I think he can be solid. I think Kobe Durant solid. And then if Revel keeps coming along, then you got three, corners that you can count on. And then obviously at Caleb, they can play in the nickel too. So I think you're okay there if all those guys are healthy. I just didn't get the sense that Jerry was talking about corner when he was talking about making a big move, or making him or being open for business. But I guess they could, but I didn't feel that as strongly about the cornerback position being a possible place that he was talking about.
I see. Now, pass rusher and linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small says something. I didn't peep this. Does Revel have a wrap on his knee?
I hadn't noticed that. I don't think so.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. I don't think it's
a wrap or a brace.
Not a wrap, like some tape or something.
Oh, I could see that potentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell, I'd be wearing the brace right now. These first few weeks of practice, you always get some wildness going on out there.
I don't want him wearing nothing at this point.
But I'm talking about early in camp, guys. Some guys will try and do some John Wayne stuff to try and like make a name for themselves.
And he need to be one of them.
He need to be John Wayne.
You don't need to be rolled up on, and then all of a sudden now you're back out, and then now you're just the injury guy all the time.
John Wayne, you do like John Wayne.
You do a good job, yeah. Of first team out. This is the first team out.
Oh yeah.
I saw first team out. It was Kobe Durant.
Yes.
Not Savon Revel. So
yeah.
I wonder if there's a little bit of pressure for him to. Oh man, I'm not the chosen one. I wasn't drafted by this group. They did sign Kobe Durant, who was. I want to say Durant actually played. No. He wasn't there for that Super Bowl team. It was like right after. So I wonder if he's like, I got to impress these guys, you know?
Yeah, could be. I know Shotty likes Durant a lot, but I think that the Revel thing is a little bit like the Overshown thing, that you got to show that, you know, that you're healthy, and maybe he also has to show them that he fully trusts the knee too. Maybe that's why they're like, hey, let's ease him back in. Let's not try and make it like, hey, you got to be the starter right away. And then they work it up to where, when the season starts, maybe he gets one of those starting jobs. I mean, these are all good problems to have. The issues you run into and you think of it is like when you see PJ Locke walk off and he's kind of limping, and that's just like a part of training camp where you're just like, you're always wondering, okay, is someone going to go down or whatever? And then that usually sorts things out. But if they have the corners that they have right now, like, I think that that's a good situation. Like, put the best three guys out there, best two guys out there, whatever package you're in, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of John Wayne, my grandfather loved that show, boy. He used to make us watch that joint.
That, I used to come home all the time, my grandpa watching Westerns.
Gunsmoke, John Wayne, and
Walker Texas Ranger. My grandma loved Walker Texas Ranger. John Wayne
is basically just another way of like saying, like, you don't need anybody coming out there trying to do no hero bullshit, you know, like, that's, nobody's got their pads on. Let's not try and do anything crazy and roll up on the back of a guy's knee and now he's out. And you got TJ Bass starting at left tackle. No, I'm just kidding, but go on.
Underrated Clint Eastwood was Gran Torino. I don't know if y'all ever seen that movie.
Oh yeah.
When he was like 90, wasn't it?
I'm about to say it's a couple. His last couple.
He was up there, Vosh, but that movie was crazy. Now this is what we want to talk to Golden Phone Vosh, because I definitely want to talk trade talks, but let's get to the read and then we'll go from there. So as Hollywood Vosh leaves us, let's go. Let me remove him. Bong, I got it now, Sky. Let's go. Prize Picks. This is new. Breaking news, guys. Prize Picks now has a new promo going that if you play $5, you get $150. Get $150 if you win. Yeah. If you win.
Promo.
Use code HMA. Let's look at some of these plays there. That's kind of
I think they got some week one plays too soon, but these are season plays, man. I'm still 10 toes on CD getting more than 12.
CD got get in the box, bro.
He had a stack last year. Did he miss a couple games?
He had 10 touchdowns last year?
No, stack.
No.
More than 1,200 yards. My bad.
Okay. I'm thinking 12 touchdowns. It's so funny seeing Aaron Rodgers passing yards at under, like, how low it is.
3,100.
Like,
yeah, that's
I know
crazy.
That's nuts, bro. Like,
I actually got more. I don't think they're going to run the ball that well, and they got Michael Pittman over there with DK. As long as he stays healthy and they stay healthy, just gave some money to their tight ends. Yeah, I think he could throw for more than 3,100.
Nah, for sure. You know, Scott, it was funny hearing Baker talk. I don't know if y'all have been keeping up with the league, but Baker's like, oh, you know, I feel disrespected. It's
like, hey, Baker. You don't buy the song.
Nah, he don't. And I'm looking at his passing yards like, well, Baker, you ain't one of them guys just, to be talking crazy.
Hold on, just threw for like 5K and 40 touchdowns 2 years ago, didn't he? Something like that, something crazy.
I think it was 2 years ago, yes.
Now they don't got Mike Evans, but 35?
Yeah, nah, man. That was just interesting to hear him, you know, because I'm like, Baker, hey, man, what?
I'm gonna have to holler at our collective guys. I need some of these picks, right? These is easy money. Aaron Rodgers? CD. Nah, Dak, Batman, give me this money, man.
Someone says like taking candy from a baby, but Prize Picks, y'all, use code HMA. New users, you play $5, you get $150 if, and this is a big if you win. Let's now talk about this trade stuff, and let's kind of talk.
Shit,
it,
you like, say $150 you get? God,
$150. Yeah, bro,
you get the dub.
God damn, that's a use code HMA. Hey, I'm just
shouts
saying, dog.
Wow, we got a shout out from whoa.
Oh, you say you get 150?
I have never heard Vosh shout out Prize.
You say you get 150?
Hey, let's send Vosh the shirt then. Here we go.
Don't save me no shirt.
Let's hey, can I get my shirt, bro? How he got the shirt is crazy.
I got it accidentally. I asked for a hoodie and they sent me the shirt, and the shirt is hard too.
The shirt is definitely fire. That joint's clean.
What weapon you got under there, man? Come on, man.
Nah, man. This something totally different. Just keep on.
Okay. Just making sure, man. We'll get canceled.
Cigars?
The street.
Huh?
Cigars?
No, that's way too grown for me. I mean, I got.
I feel like that's cologne. I feel like that's Vosh cologne.
Bro, Vosh got cologne that come in
a little something.
Oh, there you go.
A briefcase.
I do.
You know, I thought about texting Vosh because did y'all see your man who do this with the cologne? He do this and he catch it.
That's ridiculous.
Bro, that ridiculous. It's going viral. My man do this the whole.
Yeah, Law did that the other day.
That ain't how you do it. That ain't how you put it on.
No. I mean, I guess you know what though, and you guys know this as well as anyone from being on like YouTube and that. The problem is nowadays is that so many people just do stuff just to piss you off because the views don't discriminate.
Yep.
You don't have to get views for it being something people like. People,
yeah, it's called hate watch.
Yeah, hate watch and hate comment on it, you know. And so the ones that get me the most are the food ones where sit down and they're just stuffing their face with all this, like, you know, 10 different things from like some fast food place, and it's like, you're not eating all of that, you know, and you can tell the way it's clipped up that makes it look like that. And so that the comments are all
John,
like, congratulations, no, you have diabetes. It's like, that person did not eat all that.
John, there's this one character, big buff swole motherfucker with dreads.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
This motherfucker eat anything, get
and then
up,
start dancing,
do a backflip and start breakdancing. That's something that's
made. I don't claim him in my race. He's not one of us.
He make me sick.
There's a new trend going on social media, Twitter, where these fake profiles, but they get paid off this apparently. They have the caption of a video, and then they have a caption that is completely false of the video, but it's a quote. So-and-so said all this stuff because they know no one's going to click the video to listen.
Yeah.
To incite enragement and engagement.
I've seen that, yeah.
And then you start commenting, but when you click on the video, you're like, they didn't come close to saying anything.
I've seen
so it's
that.
Like a new trend. It somehow it picked up, and I don't know how this is allowed, but it's insanity, man. It's rage baiting.
This is the worst one. I can't stand this one. Vague posting.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I can't. Stand
I can't
that
stand.
Did y'all see this?
Oh, y'all gonna let Dak Prescott do that?
Hey, I'm gonna do it next week. I'm not gonna tweet out any videos. I'm gonna just be like,
wow.
Y'all just wait till you see this and then just leave it all day long.
You can't do that because this match is too hot.
John can't do it. Because even when Vosh says something that has nothing to do with Cowboys, somebody be like, oh, is the golden phone going on, Vosh? Is this about the Max Crosby trade? It's like, bro, cooking. He cooking wings.
Hey. Yeah, I'm just going to tweet out in the middle of practice. I can't believe that's the move they're making. Let it sit
John.
There.
No, that's horrible.
I mean, bro, even with them talking to Dr. Cooper today, it's like,
no. You know,
Hold on. Can I say that real quick? Because I almost cussed out Bobby Belt.
Bro, I was like, come on.
I almost cussed out Bobby Belt because I saw Nick Harris was genuinely just posting the clip of, hey, I don't know what this means, but you know, Dr. Cooper's talking to him. I didn't go back on Twitter till like an hour or so later, and I saw Bobby Belt mention something that seemed serious. That's why I said, John, you can't do this.
Oh yeah,
because we trust you guys. So
I never have. And
Bobby
so,
said, I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, but Najee Harris is still a free agent and he's now fully recovered from his knee injury.
I saw that.
That's all he said. Right? I so in my head, I'm like, oh no, Javonte Williams got hurt.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what I didn't even when you're put, talking put about wanting together. Najee Harris, yeah. I'm thinking, did something happen to our running back? So I literally went to my list and start refreshing. I went to John, I went to all these people, like, did something happen? And this is to me irresponsible. This ain't funny. I don't know what's so funny about this. I thought something had happened, but then I started seeing it was a trend. Everyone was vague posting about trying to be funny about what they could be talking about in there. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. But I think that's kind of corny in my opinion.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't do that. But just because you guys said it would be funny to do it one time.
Well, you got to also understand too, John, you hold a very high title in the Cowboys community, bro. Like your clips, it's people out there that be trying to make clips and post clips like you. And it just don't hit the same if it ain't pitch. I'm just keeping it a buck. Like it just don't hit the same. But
appreciate that.
Oh nah, I get flowers. Hey, let me ask y'all this. Let's talk about these trade talks. Who
we ain't got long, man. We only got 9 minutes.
Who, for who? Who y'all thinking?
Well, I'm willing to say F them picks for Max Crosby. I don't want to give up CP somebody at all. Else. GP at all. I don't want to. And look, it could be. Somebody said on Twitter, y'all gonna be mad when it's not Max. I'm not. The whole idea that I'm saying is, I'm proud at least that the front office is acknowledging that the defense still ain't ready yet, and that they are prepared to move big pieces to get somebody, whether it's Sweat. Whether it's Thibodeau, whether it's Highsmith, or if it's Max, I'm happy. I just don't want to be a James. I just don't want to be a James Houston type. Like, hey, we signed another Charles Snow, James Houston type, and we're gonna go out there and play. I want them to actually take a swing at this thing. So that's what I'm most excited about. I don't want to move GP at all. I think you have to be most powerful collecting all the guys. Like, the Seahawks built their defense. They didn't give up Jackson and Jigba to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need both sides to be heavy. The Cowboys can't afford to get weak anywhere. So I want them to give up picks because F them picks. And this is draft guy Vosh talk, saying this. F them picks.
You know, that's been me for how many years, Vosh? Been screaming since the volume
long
days.
Long time.
You need to get aggressive. And it finally sounds like Jerry is, you done seen how the Rams move. You done seen how his own division move. Now you see how Seattle, and they talk about, oh, man, they got aggressive and went to free agency, the Patriots. It feels like he's finally like, all right, y'all. I'm not saying we got to go be irresponsible, but I'm not trying to just bring in a bunch of lower-level type guys. So I do love that approach. I do think they want Max Crosby. There's no doubt about that. That's very obvious. Jerry made that very, very clear, which sounded like Tampa, but he made it clear. Does that mean they're going to get them? No, but that's who they want. However, I've been saying this since free agency, bro. If they were going to pay Nick Herbig in Pittsburgh, see if they'd be willing to move Highsmith, because now you got three high-paid offensive or outside linebackers. And I personally believe, and if Highsmith was brought in here and not Rashawn Gary, I think you'd have an upgrade to Rashawn, in my opinion, from a pass rushing standpoint. But now I got a chance to get both. I'd definitely go get it. Even though I don't think he's on the trade block, you know, Josh Sweat seems to be on the trade block. But damn it, was Jared Verse on the trade block? Was Myles Garrett on the trade block? No.
It made some room for them boys.
I will say, going back to the owners' meetings and that, I mean, it did seem like Myles Garrett was going to get moved. And now I didn't think it was going to be as late as it did. I didn't think it was going to happen when it did. But, you know, just from people I know that cover Cleveland, they did think that he wasn't going to be on that team once the season started. They were going to make the move eventually because it just didn't fit with the rest of their roster. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. Did they feel that way because the Rams were one of very, 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 very few teams that could pony up that type of compensation with the player coming back? Because I heard the reports I heard was the Rams and the Browns were talking since the combine.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear anything about the Rams specifically, but it was that the Browns, just where they were and where the team's at, and obviously new coaching staff and all that, that it made more sense to kind of go the younger route, but but I didn't hear any details about them needing a player in return, which obviously that's the reason that deal got done. So,
right.
Max Crosby is the one for me. Like, that's the one that would make the most sense. That's the one that would be the biggest swing. That would be the one that would move the needle the most. I just don't know that there's a lot of teams right now outside of, like, maybe, I don't know, Miami. There's probably a couple others that are really trying to sell right now. I mean, most teams are like, hey, let's get to training camp and let's see what we got here, and not really trying to shop notable players, you know? So I don't know how Vita Vea, I know he's come up multiple times in the chat. I don't know how he really fits with what they're doing. Anymore. You know, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I could be wrong.
But you asked about a proposal. I got one for you after you go.
I think that Alex Highsmith fits what we would want to do, like a glove. Now, Max Crosby, obviously, but everything I'm hearing is you got to give to get, you know, and I don't know that I would want to do that. And I don't know if Dallas wants to come off their first round pick. I think that I think that I would.
I think they would.
I think they would do it for Max Crosby. Yeah, not Highsmith.
So what? Crosby, what pick you think he talking about then? When he said he'd give up something substantial,
I mean,
a second round pick would be substantial too. But I certainly thought from the way he talked at the podium and in the walk off that their first round pick would be in play for sure. But to what you said earlier, Sky, not for some solid guy that you're just like, oh yeah, he can kind of help out. No, they would give it up to get somebody that like really moves the needle. Yeah. Which you shouldn't be giving up your first round pick for anything other than somebody that moves the needle.
That moves the needle, yeah. Right. That's true. That's a good point.
What would you be willing to give up, Foots, for Highsmith?
My second. I would give up a second. I love Alex Highsmith. I just think that, like, his trajectory, like, and obviously Max Crosby's a better player, but it's just those Pittsburgh still, like, the way they play football is just
kind of
like what you need on this team. Yeah, he's a dog, bro.
Let me ask you this, because we only got like three. Are y'all buying when Will, chill. Are y'all buying when Jerry says that he wants to do this and have it ready for the opener? Because
I heard you say that the other day, Vosh.
That's an important part he kept talking about.
Because, like, normally what they'll do is they'll realize that they're not a good pass rushing team in week five and shit and try to get it before, like, the day, like in November or something, like they did, you know, last year or whatever, right? If he really wants to do this and he does it, like, soon, I think that's major.
Hell yeah.
I think that's major. Because you got teams that you just can't afford to be messing around with in the first half of your schedule. And the trade deadline, like November.
The schedule is tricky.
I think he spooked from what happened last year. Mm-hmm. He was under the assumption we deep because you were deep because you had the guy to help you, you know, be deep. But once you remove that guy, that depth has to step up now and be starters.
We lost a lot of levels of deep too.
Boy, that second quarter in the second game, he said, "Yeah, we're going to pick up that golden fall." He's not trying to get to the second quarter in the second game.
Dante Fowler as your fourth rusher is much better than Dante got to start.
Bullshit
with Dante got to start.
I think too, what you said, Vach, if I don't have to give, this is me talking, like what I first said was I think Dallas, but if I don't have to give up George Pickens, I would probably just, if you're going to do it, if you're going to get an Acura, then just go get you an Audi. Just do it, right? Audi's my favorite car, Audi A8. But to me, I'm with you. Just have him in camp. Just let's do it. Let's make the splash. But don't play around like this and clown around and wait. Because I feel like you did that and that didn't work either. Like you tried the whole, well, let's just wait and we'll get things going. I don't know. Well, I'm thinking if you want to get him to camp, get him to camp.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
I'm so serious about Max. Here's my offer.
Okay.
You can have my 2027 second round pick, but it turns into a first rounder in the year in the year 2027. So that's how you get around.
I'm hanging up already.
Who?
They ain't taking no sec.
No. Scott, listen. You ain't listening. Here's my 2027 second round pick, because I can't give them the first round pick because it's tied up to the
But that's not true according to Joe Hoyt.
What you mean?
He said you can move the first round pick.
So that's what I'm trying to get around to, Scott. They can have the 2027 first. Okay. Fuck. However you get it done, whatever lie you got to tell, Scott, they can have the first round pick next year, second, and the third after that. They can have all that shit.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that.
The Myles Garrett deal.
They wouldn't do that.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they? I'm not giving that much up. They offered him a first and a second. That's before the quote unquote failed physical. And they went with the Ravens because they were offering the 2 ones. You know, yesterday's price is not today's price. There's no way that he's that they're gonna have to give a first and a second. There's just no way.
OG, I think that's cool right there, John.
Hold on. I got a better one. They still give up a first and a second, but it's not a second from a pick. It's a second that was a player. Uh-oh. Y'all can have Donovan Isiraku.
They can have. Look, I hope they want Donovan Isiraku.
That's you're probably going to have to give up. Like, if you're not giving up three, Donald 4 picks, straight,
Bosh. Huh? Donald catches straight.
I hope they love Donovan Isiraku. I'll lead with him if I thought that he was a valuable trade piece. I'd lead with him. I just didn't think that they would be interested in Donovan Isiraku like that for Max Crosby. I'm just trying to keep.
Mozzie Smith wasn't a valuable trade piece, but he got thrown in that mug.
I
don't know anybody counts him in that, but
he was in there.
Jesse didn't even ask for Mozzie. He was just collapsing.
Hey, the Raiders might not ask for Donovan, Donovan if I can keep my two.
What did Bron say on that one meme? Here goes another one.
I'd rather keep Donovan than give up the two, honestly, because I don't give a damn about the picks at this point. I'm trying to go make this run right now. Go ahead, John.
The deluxe album.
Oh my god.
When LeBron said that thing, he's like, and then we'll sit there and we're all out a couple weeks later, and we'll be like, here's two more for you. Take Mozzie.
Here's another one. Go ahead, take Mozzie over. I see the thing with Max is if you're gonna do it. Get it done. The Raiders aren't doing anything this year. You know, they'll be a bottom half team. So I think the same conversation that you would give up in training camp is going to be the same conversation that why wait? You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. No, I don't know if the Cowboys look at it like that. I think that there's a part of them that's probably like, we want to see how this looks first. Would you agree with that, John?
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's the thought process in general when we're just like, this is what the Cowboys do. I don't get that sense from Jerry. In fact, I think Jerry even said in short term in that walk off, he don't need to see. Like he said right now, he cool what we got. And bringing in somebody right now isn't an indictment on that. It's something that he's trying to add to make the team better in week one. I don't think he needs to see that, we're bad at rushing the pass or to bring in a pass rusher. I don't give a damn if they good. Be gooder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. All right, well, great show tonight, guys. Well, Flo can
go ahead, Aaron. Are you kidding me? A first and my third receiver? Boy, get the hell out of here. Go right over to Las Vegas. Boy, I don't give a damn. A first and my third wide receiver?
Hey, man. Jonathan Mingo got to step up. Hey, Turpin, you got to step up. Or I just run a shit, just a whole bunch of 12 personnel. I don't give a damn. Sorry, Flo.
I just want to do a whole show of Vach just throwing everybody on the team under the
bus. I'm telling you, boy.
I know he felt that way about Dono.
What's the trade package for him to say, take George Pickens, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb?
Not the actual nuclear missiles. I want to keep them. You know what I'm saying?
You're trying to give them the pew pew. Everybody's gonna die.
They can have the pew pew. He can have Demo if they want. Y'all want Demo?
But that's a misfire, ain't?
Oh man.
See, I would. Then it's like,
Brevin. Yeah, I love Brevin. Y'all want?
Aaron said Flo like we was gonna say no.
Flo. Heaven on earth, massage parlor, please.
Heaven on earth.
Low.
Hey, dog. On that note, great show. We will see you guys the next 2 days of the week. We will see you guys on the next one. Like, share, subscribe. Make sure you add us a 5-star review.
I let Max play receiver. Give a damn about Flo.